It's time for our weekly look at another Culloden, Cusack, and Warmerdam inquest jury recommendation here on Lake 88. With us, as always, Executive Director of Lanark County Interval House, Aaron Lee. Welcome back.
Good morning, Bob.
Now, we do want to mention that we will refer to IPV, intimate partner violence, several times over the course of this conversation, just to make people aware. We have been talking about funding, which is key to getting the word out and to helping the victims and survivors. And we are up to number 20, Aaron. So I'll tell you what it says, and then we'll get you to tell us about how this will be implemented. So number 20 says that they have to realign the approach to public funding provided to IPV service providers with a view to removing unnecessary reporting obligations with a focus on service, draw on best practices in Canada and internationally, and adopt and implement improved, adequate, stable, and recurring funding that incorporates several different factors. And I'll get you to speak to those factors now. But honestly, you know, in your position, I don't think there's anyone better that we could turn to get comment on this. So where would you like to start?
Well, I think that this is a huge, it's a huge recommendation for listeners to take in. It is not a new discussion that will be new to people in the government and across several ministries. It is important for us to talk about the differential response that happens to different public services. And I think it's time that IPV services are recognized like other public services for the first response that they provide to people. And I think we need to be funded annually in all of our core funding programming areas. I think that we need to know that we need to have recognition that, you know, if you're in a northern community or a flying community, or you're in a rural community, the realities are different. And so thinking about the funding equation, it can no longer be per capita equivalent to funding in urban settings, because it doesn't really look at the rural realities. IPV is more prominent in rural areas, economies of scale for urban settings versus rural settings, very different. Travel and transportation and access, whether that be cell phone, whether that be internet, or whether that be public transit itself, is virtually non-existent in terms of transportation, public transportation in so many rural communities. The cost of transportation is exorbitant. You know yourself, in terms of getting across the county with the vast geography of this community, that it's quite costly. And when we look at the price of gas, we look at just overall transportation needs, we need to implement something, and the government needs to be part of that solution. And whether that's the Ministry of Transportation engaging with and across other ministries to talk about what are some of the projects we could actually do to increase access and ensure transportation that's safe for survivors of violence. You know yourself, you'll see people who are without a ride and who are at the side of the road, or who want to plan an escape. And all of that is quite dependent on who they can get to drive them safely from one place to another. You know, there's all kinds of things for us to think about in terms of the rural approach and the realigning of public funding, whether that be kind of remoteness and looking at access. We have 15 beds of shelter support, emergency shelter support in our entire county. And while 15 beds may seem adequate to, in some eyes, we have a population of close to about 70,000 people. In Ottawa, our urban center close to us, they have 9 shelters for abused women and children for a population that is significantly larger. But it is important that we don't just rate that on the per capita, but that we look at what are the number of incidents? What is the demand on service? What are the risk levels like? We have a smaller policing force than they do in a city, but we cover a larger geography. So in a city, in an urban center, it may take 3 minutes for police response, but depending on where you are in Lanark County, it could take 40 minutes for police response. So when we think about risk and we think about rural realities, we need to think about access, and we need to think about response, and we need to think about geography, and we need to think about all of those variables that speak to the public service we provide and those variables that that are very different than in urban centers. I think you hear from me that we could go on and on about some of the funding realities, but it's really about thinking about all the things we need. We can't do mobile tracking the same way in an urban and a rural center as we can in an urban center. So sometimes we have to think about more expensive, unfortunately, alarm systems and provisions that are satellite based because we're in a rural community. With those things come higher costs. So we need to think about how do we sit down and have a real frank conversation about counseling access, funding services, even for perpetrators in our community. We don't have, we have one dedicated service in our community, and that's quite a demand and pressure on service. So we need to be looking at what are those realities and how can we ask the government to look at us as a public service across the province of Ontario and look at what IPV service providers really could use to make that a significant difference.
The part of this introduction to this particular recommendation that strikes a chord with me is removing unnecessary reporting obligations with a focus on service. This, to me, this is how I translate this. Let them do their thing. They're doing a great job. And that's referring to service providers such as yours. It sounds to me like it's cutting a bit of the red tape and just saying, recognizing that you know what you're doing.
I think that that is also a reality for a number of agencies because the reporting mechanisms, if you have one core funder and then you have three different grants, you are reporting on all of those numbers every quarter. And I think the reality is we're reporting in lines, right? And we're reporting in how the money is funneled to us for this particular area. And I think you said it exactly right. We know what we need. We know what we're doing. And we know that in every community, whether it be rural or urban, the needs are different. And so I think it's about reducing the obligatory kind of reporting mechanism and making that mechanism more rooted in conversations that recognize that we with survivors are the experts of what needs to happen. And we appreciate the support of the government and the trust of the government to say, here's the funding, you do what you see fit in terms of what's going to work in your community.
We have two more recommendations to explore in the next couple of weeks when it comes to funding. And one of them deals with both organizations such as yours and the victims. The other one deals with the victims. And wow, they are some pretty big, important recommendations that we will be talking about. So, of course, we invite people to listen to those. We will get into those further in further detail, obviously, as we progress through this. But again, this is another important one. Sounds like that they are doing everything they can, the jury here is, to make organizations such as yours and others that are helping the victims to make this just, you know, easier. Get rid of the nonsense that you don't need. Let you do your jobs.
I would agree. I think the jury did a fantastic job and has created an opportunity for the province to respond and to embrace. And let's make some meaningful change.
That's recommendation number 20. And we will be looking at recommendation 21 next week with Aaron Lee. Aaron, always a pleasure.
Thanks so much.
I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks so much for listening here on LanarkLeadsToday.ca. And of course, the news stories we do on these every Thursday at Lake 88.1.